This is a bonus Baseball Rabbi episode exclusively for Patreon subscribers. I'm Scott Kahn. Pesach and I interviewed Bob Tewksbury, who pitched for the Yankees, Cubs, Cardinals, Rangers, Padres, and Twins in the 80s and 90s. The main focus of our interview, however, was his second career as a mental skills coach and coordinator. The interview, which will drop tomorrow, was really fascinating, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. We also asked him to discuss some of the players and managers he encountered during his career, and he told some amazing stories. We present that now. Let's go through some players that you played with, if it's okay, Bob. I'd like to hear just an anecdote or perhaps a story, a thought, a reflection on them. Let's speak first about Pesach's favorite player, Ricky Henderson. What was he like to play with?
And I noticed you played with him twice. You were with him on the Yankees.
Yeah, but
He doesn't remember. That's what I was going to ask you. When you were teammates on the Padres, did he remember that you had been teammates on the Yankees?
I don't think so. But what I remember about Ricky was when we were in San Diego, we had two buses. You have a staff bus, player bus. We're going somewhere. We had a very veteran team. Fernando, Wally Joyner, Caminiti, you know, it was a very veteran team. Tony Gwynn, Ricky get on the bus, and he went to the back of the bus. And because it was always the rookies were in the back, the people who had tenure were in the front. So someone said, Ricky, you don't need to sit in the back. You got tenure. And he goes, tenure? I got 18 year.
And he probably meant it. Yeah.
I was there. I heard it.
How about Ron Guidry? What was it like to play with Ron Guidry?
Gator. He was a madman, shagging in the outfield, and then he'd go play the drums underneath the stadium. That was his workout.
Really?
Yeah. Really quiet, great competitor, really fun to watch pitch.
How about Dave Rigetti?
Rags, intense competitor. We'll do anything to help the team win, start, relieve. Great team player.
Also went on to become a pitching coach.
Yes, he did. Yeah, very successful one. Yeah.
Dave Winfield.
One of the nicest gentlemen, most talented guys I've ever seen. I've had a relationship with Dave since my rookie year. He bought me my first, well, he didn't buy it. He had a suit, probably this classic Italian-made suit that he gave me, and all I had to do was have it altered. So I got probably a $5,000 suit for a few hundred dollars, and it was wonderful. Yeah.
So I noticed that you both played for and then later worked with Bruce Bochy, and he just retired. What do you have to say about Bruce?
Great man. The San Diego year was good. The thing I remember about being with him in San Diego was we were playing in Atlanta, and Fred McGriff was on first base, and he gave me the throwover sign, and I didn't throw over. And I'm like, I'm on the mound, like, Fred McGriff's not going to steal here. What's he thinking about? I'm not throwing over. So I just pitched, and I came in, and he lit me up pretty good. He goes, I give you the throwover sign, you need to throw. And I'm like, it's Fred McGriff. He was doing some delayed steals, and we thought he was going to delayed steal. So throw over. I'm like, all right. But, you know, as a manager working with him, he was great. But the Giants had changed when I got there, you know, and in 2017, you know, they obviously 10, 12, and 14, Brian Sabian was my American Legion baseball coach.
Really?
And so he was the architect of all that. And, but by the time I get there, a lot had changed. And Boch, I think, wasn't interested in the changes of the game as way that they were happening. But great players manager and a great man.
Yeah, well, speaking of managers, you played for some illustrious ones. Also, thinking about you as a mental skills coach, I was wondering what you saw in your managers in terms of some of them being maybe better or worse at these things. So just I'll throw out a few names and you can discuss them all together. Lou Piniella, Whitey Herzog, and Joe Torre.
Lou Piniella hated me because I didn't throw hard enough. So he came out to the mound. My last game as a Yankee, he came out to the mound. We were playing the White Sox, and he came out to the mound. I shook off Butch Weiniger, and Yvonne Calderon hit a double off the wall. And Lou came out with his hat, and what the hell was that? What are you doing? So he's yelling at Weiniger. And I said, look, I threw the pitch. His head snapped, and he, what are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Wearing, cussing at me. And he said, if you don't get this next guy, you're out. You're out of the game. And I said, fine. And I tried to throw the next four pitches as hard as I could. And I walked him, and he took me out. And then days later, I got traded to the Cubs for a fish.
Yeah, Steve Trout.
Yeah.
It's a great story. And then you ended up playing for Whitey Herzog, who's a
Whitey
legend.
Whitey was great. He was just so smart. The players loved him. He knew everyone had a role, and he never deviated off that role. And that really gave players confidence to play. And just a great man. Yeah, great manager.
I've heard it said about Whitey Herzog by players that he was the greatest evaluator of talent, of what players could and could not do that they ever saw.
It'd be hard to argue that with how he used his roster. You know, he had some really good players, but he put the players in a position to be successful probably more than any other manager that I know.
You already mentioned him once, but I have to ask about Ozzie Smith. What was he like?
You know what? I'm really mad at Ozzie because he never mentioned me in his Hall of Fame speech. And I told him, I said, I can't believe
he didn't mention me either.
I got him to the Hall of Fame. You know how many ground balls I had hit to him when I pitched over those years? And I got no mention of that. Incredible player. His performance on the field was totally a byproduct of preparation and hard work. He worked his ass off before the game, and the greatness that you saw on the field was a result of that.
Now, you obviously had a lot of different catchers, and I guess I wanted to ask you about Ivan Rodriguez, who you pitched to when he was young.
Hold it, Pesci. The catchers are backstops. They're not catchers.
They're
backstops. I throw it, and if it goes by you to the backstop, you go get it and throw it back to me.
Okay, all right. That's all they are. That was your catch.
And they put down suggestions. So anyway, that's what I think about catches.
Okay, well, that answers my question. I wanted to know how important your catchers were to you was a question I had. Apparently not that important.
No, Pudge was a great catcher. Didn't have to worry about the base running. I didn't like him because he threw the ball back harder to me than I threw it to him. Kerry Steinbach was probably my most favorite catcher. We threw the Ephus pitch to McGuire. We had a
That's
lot
right,
of
very famously.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
You got him out on it, didn't you?
Twice, yeah, got him out on it. So there's a good story with that pitch too. I called my own game. I knew what I wanted to throw. It was my responsibility to learn the hitters and how I would match up against them with what I pitched, what I threw. And there are too many pitchers now that don't take the time because everything's handed to them. There's a scouting report. The catcher memorizes it. They go out to the mound and they're like robots. And I just feel like that's not responsible. I wouldn't do it. I shake your head. You know, they make a suggestion and you throw the pitch. You either acknowledge it or you change it to something you want to throw.
It's funny what you said about Pudge Rodriguez. It sounds very much what Louis Tiant told us about Pudge Fisk throwing the ball back as hard as he threw the ball to him. And one time he just let the ball go into the outfield because he couldn't take it anymore.
It's interesting what you say about calling your own game. It goes back, you know, to some of the things we were saying about how players today, you know, the managers have such a short leash on everything that they're not developing those mental skills and working through a game plan and making a decision and owning that decision, you know, is something that, you know, even the catchers aren't calling the game so often now. It's,
no,
you know,
no, you're right. And I think that's owning. That's a, you know, this is your performance. This is your career. You know, at the major league level, you own this. In college, you know, they own you and you kind of have to throw what they put down. But, you know, my favorite manager was Joe Torre. Joe, I had my most success under Joe. I was the winning pitcher of his first win as a Cardinal manager in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
I was so
what
happy.
What made him
for
such
him
a good manager?
He gave me permission to be successful. And so here's maybe a finishing story here. We were in Philadelphia. It was 1992. So I was up and down in 90. I was in the big leagues all of 92. Joe, or all of 91. Joe came in 91, I think, late 91.
Yeah, Whitey left in the middle of the season, and Red replaced him briefly, and then Joe Torre came in. Yeah.
So, and this goes back to your point about being conditioned as a pitcher. So I'm pitching in Philadelphia. It's the seventh inning. We're winning 3-2. There's a guy on second, and there's one out. And the bullpen's up, and it's Lee Smith. So maybe there was two outs in the eighth. Lee Smith's up. Now I'm thinking I'm out of the game, because when I was with the Yankees, Lou Piniella had somebody warming up one game at Old Exhibition Stadium in Toronto in the first inning when I had a guy on base. So I kind of get conditioned to that. If the bullpen's up, I'm probably going to be out of the game. Joe came out to the mound, and I thought he was coming to take me out, but he was coming to check on me. And he asked me how I was doing, and I don't recall my exact words, but I basically said, I'm done. You better get me out of here, in so many words. So he takes me out. Lee Smith comes in, gives up a single and a walk and a grand slam, and we lose the game. So I don't sleep a wink that night, because I feel so guilty. Like, I totally screwed up. He was giving me a chance to win or to pitch. So the next day, he called me Tweaksy. Not Tuxie. He called me Tweaksy for whatever reason. So the next day I go into his office and I'm like, Joe, I got to talk to you. He goes, I got to talk to you too. He said, do you know why I took you out of the game? I said, yeah, because I didn't give you a reason to leave me in. And he goes, you're right. And he said, look, I believe in you. You may not throw as hard as some of these other guys in the league, and you don't have the stuff that some of these other guys do, but you don't beat yourself, and I believe in you. And that's the first time I ever had a baseball manager really give me permission to succeed. Like, look, I got your back.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that. And we're still friends today. I see him occasionally, and he'll talk about that first win in Philadelphia, and I'll tell him about talking to me in Philadelphia. So he's a great man.
That's a beautiful
story. What a terrific story.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to listen to the full interview tomorrow on the Baseball Rabbi podcast.